Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. Well, God is good. His word is always good. His word is always a great meal. Amen. All right. Well, let's turn over to Psalm 119. How did you know? Psalm 119. Well, when your Bible starts falling open to that all the time, then you know you're pretty. Amen. Well, as we've been preaching through Psalm 129, or 119, we have come close to the end of our journey. The last section is titled Tau, T-A-U. That's another Greek letter, or Hebrew letter, sorry. Well, I'm skipping my alphabet all day. So our final Hebrew letter in the Hebrew alphabet is Tau, T-A-U. And that's the last section of Psalm 119. There's been 22 sections, and this is the final section. That's the final letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And they're divided, as we've said numerous times, to remind you, into 8 verse stanzas. I call it that. And because each one is 8 verses long. Somebody brought it to my... I had known this in the past, and somebody brought it to my attention the other day that in the Hebrew, each one of these stanzas, each one of the verses in the Hebrew Bible begins with that particular letter, each one of the lines. So each line of the Aleph begins with the letter Aleph. Each line in the second section, which is Bet, begins with the letter Bet. Each line in Tau, where we are now, begins with the letter Tau. So God's pretty good. He knows how to write poetry. You didn't know he was a poet, did you? God does good. Amen. We've been reading this and studying through Psalm 119. Most of you probably haven't ever done that before from beginning to end. I'm sure you've read it in your Bible reading, you know, when you're going through the scripture, you've gone through Psalm 119. But the Lord had me stop and begin Psalm 119 back, what, a year and a half, whatever it's been, and just to teach through it, just to teach slowly through it and compare it to the Scripture, compare it to other Scripture, and just bring out what the Holy Spirit wants to bring out for your blessing and benefit. It's certainly not exhaustive. There's so much more that you can tie this and connect this each verse to. But of course they're talking, each verse talks about the Word of God. Each verse in Psalm 119, verses 1 through 176, there's only a couple of exceptions, I think, but maybe 121 and 132 do not specifically, but refer back to the Word of God. But every verse, essentially, in this psalm refers back to the Word of God, a benefit of the Word of God, or what the Word of God does. So, I mean, that's a powerful testimony that David is writing this psalm. King David is writing this psalm. It's a journal of his, and he's writing this psalm, referring back to the blessing of the Word of God and the power of the Word of God and what the Word of God will do in your life. When he talks about the Word, he's talking about referencing it in various. Ways. He's referencing it about 10 different ways. His statutes, his judgments, his testimonies, his law, his word, his precepts. All of these things refer back to God's word, God's spoken word, God's written word. And his word is important to you. God's word is important to you because without his word, you wouldn't have any life in you. Because God spoke, and you became a being. God breathed into you the breath of life. He spoke you to existence. Let us create man in our own image. Man, male and female created he them. So God speaks, and those things become reality. So what we want to do here is We'll complete our study today in Psalm 119. Some of you are going, whew, oh, praise the Lord, on to something else. Be careful what you wish for. God's got other things to speak. God's got other things to say. Let's look. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for carrying us through this study. And Father, we thank you that you have brought us here to the conclusion. But it's not the conclusion. It's really just the beginning. It's the beginning of the introduction. The end of the beginning. And Father, we thank you that you will use us again, use this teaching and this use this psalm to remind us, just as you use the Proverbs in so many ways. You use the Proverbs to speak to our heart's wisdom. Lord God, that you will use Psalm 119 and again to speak to us about the preeminence of your word, the preeminence of what you say in the testimony of a man, in the testimony of King David, what the preeminence of the word does in us, what it fulfills in us. So we love you and give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 169 says, "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my cry come before you." So God's not keeping you out. He's not keeping you down. He's always, his door is always open. He's not saying you've done too much or messed up too bad. He's never saying that. God never says that, ever. He never says you've done too much or done too bad to come back to my presence. You remember the prodigal son? He's got a speech. "Oh God, oh Father, I've done wickedly in your sight, and treat me as one of your hired servants." And the father's busy ignoring him because he's been standing on the end of the driveway, waiting for him to come back for how many umpteen months or years. And he says, "Yeah, put the robe on him, put the ring on him, put shoes on his feet, kill the fatted calf, let's have a party. My son was dead, and now he's alive." You know, that's how God is when you come back. He's not looking at everything you've done. He's actually looking at what he's still got for you. Amen. Because nothing you have done can ever prevent what he's got for you. Amen. Right. Nothing you've done. You can't do that. You know, and that's the biggest lie that the enemy perpetrates on people is, you know, how many times have I heard it? How many times have probably you heard it? You know, you invite somebody to church, you invite somebody to come back to the Lord. "Well, just, you know, you don't know what I've done, you know." Well, I really don't care, neither does God. You know, he doesn't care. He says, "Come to me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's the problem with preaching. Is you forget all your notes and you just start going. Is it? "But I will give you rest. Come on in. Come into my house. Come into this house because you have a need and I love you." Amen. It's so powerful. That's what Tim needs. Tim needs to hear that. He's hearing that God loves you. You haven't? "Well, I tried to kill myself and I'm sure God hates that." Well, see, you know, that's religion. All religion says you've done too much. Sadly, religion tends to say that. Yeah, or religious people tend to say that. "Well, we wrote him off last week. We wrote him off 10 weeks ago, you know, when he started this mess." No, absolutely not. You go after him. You love him. You minister to him. That's what the Word does. That's what the Word of God does. And he sends you with it. He sends you with the love of God. You're a demonstration of the love of God. That's who you are. That's what happens. "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word." That's what you want. That's what you have to have. That's what your cry is, for understanding. Lord, give me understanding. Lori was talking about it earlier. Is that, Lord, give me understanding of that. Just don't let me just hear in my head. Don't let me have a word of the letter which killeth, but let me have the Spirit which gives life. All right? Look at Psalm 18:6. And what I'll do typically is I'll take these verses out of Psalm 119 and I'll refer back to various other scriptures that'll enhance that or it'll speak to it. Psalm 18:6 says, "In my distress, not after I get over it, but in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard me out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. So when you cry, the Lord hears you. When you cry, the Lord hears you. Oh, don't just swear. Cry unto the Lord. A lot of people, they just swear, you know. Doggone it, you know, or they, you know, get angry at the person or whatever. No, if something's going wrong, cry before the Lord. Don't yell at your wife, right, Janet?
Right.
Yeah, don't yell at your husband. Right, Leah? Praise the Lord. Right, Danny? Don't yell at your husband. Honey, please. In my distress, I just thought about that. In my distress, in Janet's distress, she cries to the Lord. That's right, yes. And the Lord hears her. All right, that's my wife, by the way. All right, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 9. If, when evil comes upon us, as the sword, or judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, the house of the Lord, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, or in this word, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then you will hear and help. So that's when we stand before God, come into his house. Now, his house doesn't mean the church necessarily. The church, it just means come before the Lord and come into his presence. If you're born again, if you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, if you're a Christian, you have the living God on the inside of you. And he hears you when you cry to him. You don't have to go run down to the church building, knock on the door, hope they're open. No, you just stop right where you are. A lot of people feel like they've got to do something fancy to get into the presence of God. You don't have to do anything fancy to get into the presence of God. You don't have to dance, right? You don't have to sing the right song. You don't have to find the right scripture. Say, Father, I am a big mess. Help me. You know what? He'll hear you. He'll hear that. Because that's not you preparing. That's just you falling on your face and falling on the floor. So don't wait till later to come before the presence of God in distress. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord. So right there in the big, worst middle of it, please. Otherwise, you end up calling the pastor or something. No, it's okay. You can call the pastor. The pastor should tell you the same thing. He shouldn't invite you over for counseling. He should actually tell you to fall on your face before the Lord. Because if you come over for counseling, then you've wasted gas because that's all he's going to tell you when you get there. So just fall on your face before the Lord. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard me out of his temple. Proverbs 2, verse 3 through 5. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if thou seekest her, that is wisdom, and understanding, as silver, seek for her as silver, and search for her as hid treasure. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So you're going to seek the Lord. You're going to come in before him, cry out seeking understanding. Father, thank you for understanding. Again, our beginning verse was, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Give me understanding according to your word. Now, it would be best if you actually kind of put some word on the inside of you. That would be advisable. Is you put the scripture on the inside of you. Because you begin to call on that. The Holy Spirit begins to call on that word. I believe this is that when Paul got, you remember the Apostle Paul was the greatest Jew ever, at least by his testimony. Student of the greatest scholars. He was filled with the Word of God, but had no knowledge and no understanding. He was the most learned student of his day. But then the Holy Spirit touched that Word. What happened? The Holy Spirit touched that Word, and 2/3 of the New Testament came out. Because God revealed His Word. So if you put the word on the inside of you, God will reveal that word in season. He'll reveal that word at the time that you need it. He'll take that promise. You won't even have to look it up in your concordance. He'll just bring it to your remembrance. You'll know exactly in the moment what to do. First of all, you're going to begin to praise God. First of all, you're going to begin to worship and thank Him. So he says, yes, and back in Proverbs 2, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, and search for her as hid treasure, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord. You're going to understand the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is not, oh my gosh, here he's coming with a big stick. No, the fear of the Lord is, I better listen to this guy. He knows it all. He's got it all. If you have the guy coming who knows it all and got it all, the fear of the Lord is, I got to get in front of that guy. I got to get with him. I want to know him. I want to know what he says. I want to stick right close to him. You know, Jesus said that, you know, when Jesus said, if you don't eat my blood or drink my flesh and drink my blood and eat my flesh, John 6, you have no part in me. And many went back from following after that. And he said to his disciples, are you also going to go? And he says, and they said to him, who are we going to go to? Where are we going to go? You alone have the words of life. See, by that time you're ruined. By that time you're ruined. Nobody else has the words of life. And that's where you want to be. You want to be ruined. Is that Jesus alone, the Bible alone, the Word of God, alone has the words of life. This world, the news, the college, whatever it might be, Uncle Joe, does not have the words of life, unless he's a strong believer in the Scriptures. Is only the Word of God and only the Spirit of God giveth life. God created the whole world. God created the world, and He created it by His Word. That's why we're studying this. Again, okay, over in James 1 verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That means he doesn't shame you for it, for not knowing. He didn't make fun of you. And it shall be given to him. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and doesn't shame you. And it shall be given. And it shall be given. You come to God for wisdom, he'll give it. Well, I didn't get it. Well, stick with it. Stay in there. Amen. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. Keep opening the Word. You know, so many times God doesn't answer you with the answer you're looking for. God answers you with the Word that you need. Amen? You may not have an answer that, oh, well, good, now I know how to do that. You know, thank you very much. No, what He's going to do is just have you continue to walk and continue to trust Him. No matter where you're living, no matter what you're doing, no matter what job you've got that you wish you were not having, No matter what family situation that you have, follow the Lord. Stay there. Stay there and follow the Lord. Ask Him. He's going to share with you. First of all, He's going to share with you how to love who you're with. Amen? He's going to show you how to love and not to condemn. Well, they're blah, blah. You know, they're being a jerk. Well, good. Praise the Lord. Then you get to repent. Because No matter how much Jesus got reviled or beat up, He loved. And it's not what you should do. Listen to me. That's not what you should do. We're not doing what Jesus did because we should do it. We're doing what Jesus did because that's who we are. It doesn't look like it. You know, no, then you looked in the wrong mirror. You looked in your own bathroom mirror. That's the wrong image. You look in the Scripture. You find out who you are. You find out who you are by looking into the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We look into the perfect law of liberty and are changed from one degree of glory to the next. Over in James chapter 1, that you look into the Word of God. You look into the Word of God and then you go away and you forget who you are. See, you go away from looking at the Word of God and you forget who you are. So you need to meditate on the Word day and night. All right, verse 170. Psalm 119, verse 170. Let my supplication. So first 169 was let my cry come near before thee. 170 says, let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. Deliver me according to thy word. Okay, Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication," supplication means making your request, "with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." So without fear and without stress. So be anxious for nothing. Here's your opportunity to be anxious. Here's a problem. So, oh my gosh, I think I'm going to worry for a week or two. You know, how many's mom always was the worrier? You know? You know typically what happens, or your dad. You know what happens with your dad when he's a worrier? You know, somebody said, my dad went to heaven a couple of years ago. I got a chance to pray with him and confirm that. I mean, he was raised a Lutheran, but I was too, so I kind of know the hang-ups there that are like, well, you're saved? I don't know. The funny thing about Lutherans is they're all about grace, but they don't really know if they're saved or not, which is kind of Catholic-y, you know, because they kind of keep you under a little bit of law. So it's really kind of an oddball thing. And so, but what you want to do is Luther says, no, just found, hey, it's by faith alone. It's not by works. It's not by producing anything. My dad, who knows why, but he obviously got worried, and maybe when he looked at me, because I was his first child, he got really worried and started drinking. Go figure. I don't know. So now he'd always been drinking. He's always been a drinker, but I think he ramped it, amped it up. He amped it up, you know, after children started coming because he began to worry. And that's typically what happens to people. You know, people just, they worry, they shove it inside, or they worry and they start drinking or start taking drugs because you're worried. Listen, that's not going to help you. That's going to destroy you, like Tim, you know, has 7 kids. What am I going to do? I got 7 kids.
Yeah.
You know? What am I going to do? You know, you got the little woman on the ad for the, you know, they're giving the veterans families who lost their dad or lost a soldier, you know, a free mortgage-free house. You know, the woman talking about how, you know, how was I going to take care of 7? How was I going to love my 7 kids and take care of them? You know, my husband was doing everything. You know, and he's so. And you begin to worry. You begin to worry. Listen to me. I know that's a big responsibility. No matter what it is, you've got your hand to. Maybe you just got 1 child. And it's too much. Apparently, I was. We only had 2. And so, but God will take care of that for you. No matter if you're 60, no matter if you're 20, no matter how old you are, whatever your circumstances, God has made a way for you. He's made a way to deliver you and to bring you into His kingdom and to show you His understanding and show you His wisdom. He said, without anxiety, let your requests be made known to God. Let your requests be made known to God. In other words, my confidence is that God heard me. Amen. Let's look at Jeremiah 42. Jeremiah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to look on this thing because it's easier to read than the other. Jeremiah 42, look at verse 9. And here they are, the children of Israel are there in Babylon. And let's see here. Look at verse 9. And Jeremiah said to them, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him." So Jeremiah was asked to bring this request to the Lord. He says, "If you will still abide in this land, then will I build you." They were trying to get off and go into Egypt. Let's see if we can't escape out of this Egypt thing where God sent us because we had misbehaved or we had forsaken His law. You know, sometimes God will allow you to kind of get into a spot where at least you're kind of in a holding pattern, but He knows He can protect you and care for you. So He says, just stay there. It's pretty much how Babylon was. You know, oh my gosh, they took us away into Babylon. Well, you'd better thank God He took you over there. It's kind of the reason He gave a law. You know, The law was given because of Galatians. God said the law was given because of transgressions. Actually, Paul wrote that. The law was given because of transgressions until the fullness of time when Jesus came. Why? Why would you give a law because of transgressions? Well, it's basically to keep people's hands off the stove and keep them from running across the street in front of a bus. Amen. You know, it's not that you could keep it, but it sure slowed you down. Praise the Lord. And then he gave you a whole big rendition of how to keep this law, just so it kind of keeps you busy and keeps in front of you his promise. Amen? So that's the purpose of the law was to do what Galatians said, is to show you sin, the fact that you're wicked, show you the fact that you have need of a Savior. That's the purpose of the law. And the law was there from Moses until Jesus. When the whole covenant thing began, we had Noah, then we had Abraham. Abraham had a covenant and said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Then by the time we came down to Moses, it looked like, well, we were in big trouble. The whole place was captive in Egypt. Well, we had to get them out of there. So you get them out of Egypt, but then you end up with like several million people, and God's going to keep them alive for the next 1,500 years. He's got to keep them alive. He's got to keep them through kings. He's got to keep them through prophets. So he's going to make sure that through that law, that he's making sure that the covenant continues all the way till Jesus. Okay? So here, he's put him into Babylon for a while to just kind of give some breathing space and say, it's okay. If you've looked at Jeremiah 29, he says, you go ahead and camp out here. Go ahead and camp out here. We're going to, you go ahead and plant gardens here, get married here, build a house here. You know, I'm going to take care of you right here, wherever the land is, and pray for the peace of that nation. No! It's a bad nation. I don't want to pray for the peace of that nation. I want to get out. I want to get away. Let's go back to Egypt. Everybody always wants to go back to Egypt. They always have wonderful memories of Egypt. But Egypt is where you were enslaved. Amen? Egypt is where you were enslaved, and God wants to set you free. Now look over here at Jeremiah 42. It says, verse 10 now, if you will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I repent of the evil that I have done to you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show you mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. So God's going to do that for you. He's going to just rest where you are and let the Lord work in you where you are. Well, this America is just in a bad, bad place, bad, bad situation. Well, work where you are. Pray for the peace of that nation. No, I want to complain. No, don't do that. Pray for the peace of that nation. Work to build up the economy of that nation. Plant gardens, build houses. So you're blooming, bloom where you're planted. Let the Lord work in you, but the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are on the inside of you to transform your part of that land. To transform your part of that land. Your part of that land is going to prosper. Your part of that land is going to be built up. And people are going to come to you and say, how'd that happen? And you're going to tell them about the Word of God. Amen. Don't follow after men, follow after God. God will care for you. God will build you up. God will strengthen you. He'll manifest His goodness in you. Okay, let's look at Psalm 119, verse 171. My lips shall utter praise, speak praise, when thou hast taught me thy statutes. Okay, let's look over at Psalm 105. Look at Psalm 105, verse 42. Okay. Again, our scripture in 171 says, my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. So looking at Psalm 105, verse 42, he says, for he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. And he gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. That they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Now, I've talked to you about the word keep before, and the word observe there is also within that definition of the word keep, to guard, to observe. In other words, you have this holy word that you have here, and you are keeping that hidden in your heart. This is the benefit. This is the blessing. This is the power of God. This word of God on the inside of you is his promise, isn't it? The promise of God kept in your heart. That's where you keep it. It's not like taking a law and doing it. Okay, go pick up that piece of paper. Go sweep up that back room. No, it's hold the promise and the covenant of God in your heart. Keep his promises. Keep his statutes. Keep, observe, to guard and observe. This word is your health. This word is your strength. This is what's building you up. Don't forget it. Don't allow it to run away from you. Amen? I mean, your natural body proclivity is to forget God and to feel guilty about it, because that's what the devil loves to do. Okay? Here, let's put a bunch of guilt on you. Nonsense. There's no reason for it, because Jesus Christ took all of your guilt, all of your pain, all of your everything that you would use as an excuse to escape from the gospel. Jesus took that. Amen. So if there's one thing that you're looking at today and you're going, well, that lets me out. No, that's a lie. That's a lie from the devil. That's a lie from the enemy, because his desire is to keep you from the good news. Amen. His desire is to keep you from the good news. But today I want you to know that the good news is all for you, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter who you are. All right? And look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do so in the land where you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this nation is a wise and understanding people. So I'm going to utter praise to God and the statutes that he has taught me, and is going to bring to pass wisdom in the nation that I'm going to. Amen. So you're living in that nation right now. Oh, America's the greatest Christian nation. Well, have you looked lately? Have you watched TV? I guess people don't watch TV anymore. They watch, YouTube. All kinds of crazy things. Problem is, I mean, those are things that are uncensored. Amen. TV used to censor things. YouTube, you can get the real McCoy. You can see what's, y'all know what that means? The real McCoy. That means without filter. You can see this world without filter. You don't want to do that. If you got kids in the house, put a filter on it, on your YouTube. Because there's stuff out there you don't need to see. You can't unsee that, as they say. I mean, those things, that's why Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon a maid. In other words, don't look. Just wisdom. Just don't. When somebody says, oh, look at that, don't. I mean, you have great opportunities to just get fall over into things. I learned that. I said, no, don't look at that. Just don't. All right, number one, verse 172, Psalm 119, verse 172. I hope I'm not confusing you with all these scriptures. When I say anything between 169 and 176, that's back in Psalm 119. So verse 172 says, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous. So my tongue is going to speak of his word. All your commandments are righteous. So my tongue continually is going to speak of your word. When I have an opportunity to speak something else, I'll rather speak of his word. You know, the scripture says that the tongue is an unruly member. Have you ever found that to be true? Your tongue just wag all kinds of things. You know, you can swear with it. You can gossip with it. You can complain with it. I mean, the thing is just nasty. You know, people, you know, little kids, they put all kinds of things in their mouth. You know, just nasty stuff. But the Bible says it's not what goes into it. You know, and they complain about eating pork and eating stuff, you know, shrimp. You know, but Paul said it's not what goes into the man that defiles a man. It's what comes out. So once you put it in there and it begins to come out, that's what begins to give you a problem. It's because you're expressing those things that came on the inside of you. What's better is to repent, is to change your mind, to give it to God. Say, no, Lord, take that out of me. Whatever that is, take that out of me. Whatever that thought was, or that practice that I've been involved in, no matter what it might be, Lord, take that out of me. You're thinking, well, that's probably men. No, it's men, women, young people, whatever I've had on the inside of me that's causing me an issue. Father, thank you for taking it out. Thank you for taking it out. You know, you have difficulty scrubbing things. You can't reach back there. Sometimes you need the dentist to get back there and get it, you know, because you can't reach it. Well, you can't reach it. The Holy Spirit's going to reach it. Say, Lord, clean me out. Amen? If you're, you know, if you're 40, 50, 60, 16, 20. A lot of things happen when you're 14, 15, 16, 17 years old that it affects you long after that, I can easily say. Because when you're 60, 61, that you still have memories of things that happened when you're 14, 15, 16 years old. And so you want to say, Lord, deliver me from that. Deliver me from that thought. And I thank you that you do. And I just walk in it. Now, sometimes you may fail. Sometimes you may fall. But the Lord is delivering you from that because of his word, because of his promise. God is delivering you from that. Maybe that's still happening. Maybe you've still got that issue. Maybe that thing is still happening to you. But in Jesus' name, I declare to you that the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you is delivering you as you rejoice in his deliverance. Don't be anxious. The Bible said, remember we talked about it? Don't be anxious for nothing, not even that thing that you keep messing up with. Don't be anxious for that. In fact, begin to praise God for delivering you from that. Because his promise said if you keep his word on the inside of you, he is delivering you from all your enemies. A lot of your enemies are just inside your head. They're the things that just keep coming up in your mind. And you say, no, in Jesus' name, Father, I just rejoice and give you praise. I'm not going to attempt to get rid of that because people aren't growing. Because they're kept bound by their own thought life because they think that somehow I'm going to get rid of this. I'm going to figure some way to get out of this trap that the enemy laid for me. No, the only one that's going to get you out of that trap is Jesus died for you and he shed his blood for you and he rose again for you. So receive that. So Father, thank you that Jesus died for that. He took that sin upon him and I'm delivered from it. So I'm going to rejoice right now. I'm going to give you praise, Father, for delivering me from everything that has come into my mind that says, well, that did it. That just shot it. I don't have any hope of a relationship with God. Or at least not like so-and-so has, who never sinned. No! You've got the same absolute relationship with God as somebody who just lived pure as the driven snow in your mind. Oh, that perfect person, they must have a wonderful relationship with God. No, they're proud as they can be. They got other issues. They do. Everybody's got an issue. Even the best person. Even me. Come on. Even me. What's that song? Isn't there a song? Jesus loved even me. Or something. So my tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteous. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakens the morning by morning. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens mine ear to hear as the learned. So he's working in me. He's transforming me. I'm changed. Acts 4 verse 29 says, And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Well, I never had boldness to speak his word because I was busy looking at me and looking at how people would view me and condemn me because they looked at me and knew me better. You know, a lot of people afraid to talk about the Lord to people who they know because they know them. You know, yeah, we know you. We know where you've come from. Yeah, but you don't know what I've got now. I've got something. I got a hold of something, or something got a hold of me. It's Jesus. He's in me. Let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about Jesus. You know, you were there when we did all that. But I want to tell you about how the Lord spoke to me. Verse 173. Let your hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. Proverbs 1, verse 28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Verse 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and be quiet from fear of evil. So they were in a mess because they chose not to listen to the Lord. But whoever hearkens to me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Powerful. So, fear of evil, gone. Sorry, evil. You don't spook me. You can't spook me anymore. I'm not afraid. Evil's there. It's big. It's mean. And it's... But one of the biggest things about evil is, if it has you, it can paralyze you. But I'm free from the fear of evil. I'm free from the fear of it. See, it's not only to be free from evil, but to be free from the fear of it, because that's the biggest part of it, isn't it? The biggest part of evil is the fear of it. And you're free from it. Jesus was free from it. You know, they're riding over on the boat, and they see that crazy guy over there on the other shore, you know, the crazy Gadarene guy, you know, with chains and cutting himself, and pigs all around. And the disciples, oh no, Jesus, don't go see it. We heard about that guy. He's on the news. Well, Jesus, don't go over there. Jesus goes right at him. Walks right up to him. Hey, what's up? And he cast out the devil from him. See? Because Jesus had no fear of evil. Because he knew he had already won. Do you know you've already won? You've already won. You've already defeated evil because of the Word of God. He's on the inside of you. He's transformed you. He's changed you. Amen. Luke 10:42 says, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the better part, the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Remember, Jesus is teaching, and Martha's in there. Her sister Martha's in there slinging hash, throwing everything in the kitchen, you know. I said, Mary's not helping me. She's sitting here listening to the preacher. Well, she's a woman. She should be in the kitchen, says her sister. Helping me. You know, woman's place is in the kitchen. Mary said, no, a woman's place is in front of Jesus. Is hearing God. Amen? Jesus didn't care about having dinner prepared. Jesus wasn't interested, you know. He wasn't looking for dinner. He was looking to give dinner, to prepare a meal. Verse 174, so she has chosen the better part. 174, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Back further in Psalm 119, verse 143, says, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments, oh, they got me, yet thy commandments are my delight. Thy commandments are my delight. If you look over at Psalm chapter 1, which you're very familiar with, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but rather his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate both day and night. In his law does he meditate both day and night. So let your hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I'm sorry. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Verse 174. So his law is my delight. So blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That guy's not blessed. But the blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate both day and night. Then Psalm 119, verse 81. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My soul faints. You know, your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, the part of you that evaluates your situation in this life, your daily momentary situation. That's the soul. The soul is the unrenewed part of your mind that evaluates based on thoughts and assumptions learned in this world. But I, who's I? I is the born again man. I is the born again spirit. I hope in your word. So here comes bad news, but I evaluate it according to the scriptures and the promises of God. I evaluate every dilemma with the power, with the word of God and his promises. Another one you can read is Romans 7. I'm not going to go there right now. Romans 7. Verse 22 to 25. Romans 7, verse 22 to 25. I'm giving you time to write that down, by the way. Verse 175, last two verses coming. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let thy righteous judgments help me. Psalm 42, verse 11 says, why are you cast down, O my soul? So let my soul live. Why are you cast down, O my soul? David's talking to his soul. Hey, soul. Hey. And why are you cast down? And why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance. He's the health of my countenance. He builds me up. He strengthens my inner man. Psalm 142:7. Bring my soul out of prison. So he says, let my soul live. You remember? Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, and thou shalt deal bountifully with me. So bring my soul out of prison. See, how many know your soul becomes in prison, doesn't it? It's kind of like you're bound up with your soul. Boy, what a lousy roommate. You know, that's a terrible roommate you got. You know, you're in there by yourself, and he's complaining about you, showing you all your sins, and you're going, yeah, no, it's awful. Wish God would help me. No, God already helped you. Amen. You need His promises. You need His word in there. So bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. So how do you know you're out of prison? You begin to praise His name. I'm out of prison, glory to God. You remember how the angel went and smote Peter? Yeah, that means punched him in the side. And he punched him in the side in the jail because they'd been put in jail for preaching the gospel. And Peter's sleeping. And he wakes him up. Why? Because he wasn't afraid. He said, okay, it's time to go. Okay, let's go. You know, so he got him out of prison. But while you're in prison, you're just sleeping. How many know you can sleep in prison because you know Jesus is coming to get you? He's coming to get you out. He's got me out already. I'm just waiting for the bus to show up. Amen. The ticket's been paid for it. He's sending me an escort. He's going to send me an escort. He's going to get me out. And I know that I'll be okay until it's done. Did you know you're going to be okay until it's done? Oh, God, help me out of this thing. I don't know if I'm going to. No, you're going to live right through it. You're going to live right through it. I want you to know you're going to live right through it. There's been a few things that I've lived right through. Still in the middle of some of them. I'm living through those too. Amen? Because God's good and I'm not afraid. Because in the middle of everything, His Word is all true. His Word is all true. You know, remember Job, where Job said, He knows the way that I take. This is in the big middle of the trouble. Job says in verse 23:10, he says, "For He knows, God knows the way that I take, and when He has tried me, when He's done, I shall come forth as not silver, not bronze. I shall come forth as gold. I'm going to come forth. Woo! Awesome! It's going to be great. Amen. But in the meantime, I'm going to praise Him." Psalm 139:14, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I've got a purpose already. Marvelous are Your works, and that my soul knows right well. I got this, doggone it. I got this down. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. In other words, I'm made for a purpose. I'm made for a purpose. God's set me in place. I'm ready. I'm fulfilled. God's doing it. And I know that one day, one step after another, He's leading me. You know, Psalm 23, you know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Jeremiah 20, verse 13, sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for He has delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Jeremiah 20, verse 13. Okay, last verse in the whole Psalm 119. Drum roll, please. That's the one you've been waiting for. Psalm 119, verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek Thy servant, for I do not forget Thy commandments. Well, that's an interesting last verse for this whole thing. I have gone astray, like David said, like a lost sheep. Seek Your servant. Come on, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. Seek Your servant, for I do not forget Your commandments. I do not forget Your commandments. Just look at Ezekiel. Oops. Chapter 34. Ezekiel 34, verse 6, and then 16. My sheep, Ezekiel 34, 6, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Verse 16. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and I will bind up that which was broken, and I will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and strong, and I will feed them with judgment. So He's going to seek after you, lost sheep. You feel lost to that? Feel kind of lost? You know, Jesus has already sought you. He's already seeking after you. And Luke 15, Obviously, you know where this is going. I think you do. Well, it's better if I look it up. Luke chapter 15, verse 4 through 7. What man of you, Jesus said, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders. That's you. I am like a lost sheep. Seek me. Seek after me. That's your cry to the Lord, isn't it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. So Jesus is not mad. Dumb sheep. No. Jesus puts it on his shoulders. Woo! It's my baby sheep. And he comes home and calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, this dirty, dumb sheep. No. He says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over a sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. 1 Peter 2:25 says, for you were as sheep gone astray, but you are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Psalm 119:93 says, I will never forget your precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. With them thou hast quickened me. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law. Again, the last verse is, I do not forget thy commandments, right? I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thou thy servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Before we finish, I'm going to look at Psalm 78, the first few verses, just for a moment. Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Talk about the Word of God through the Psalm, reading through Psalm 119. Again, Psalm 78, verse 1 says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. I'm going to end reading on in Psalm 78. It talks about the whole journey of Israel and how God provided for them. So there's your homework, is read Psalm 78. And he's talking about His Word. He gave them His Word. He gave them His Word. Now finally, I'm going to read to you Psalm 119, verse 1 and 2, and then verse 176. Psalm 119, verse 1 and 2, the very first beginning of this chapter, says, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happy are they. Blessed are they. And blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. That's verse 1 and 2. And then finally, verse 176, I have gone astray like a sheep. Seek Thy servant, for I do not forget your commandments. I do not forget your commandments, your word, your promises, your statutes, your precepts, your testimonies, your ways. your word. Father, we just thank you for this psalm that we've studied for the last 2 years. It's a long psalm. But Father, every step is an encouragement to seek you at your word. So Father, we ask you to remind us to follow you and to follow you living in your spirit and follow you with your word in our hearts. We ask you, Lord God, to mightily transform us, change us. Let us hear your word, and every verse that we have read is an exhortation to trust your promise. So, Father, we just give you praise, and we invite you, we ask you, Lord, to work in us that which we have heard, and to utilize your word by the indwelling Spirit of the living God through Jesus Christ to transform us into that same image from glory to glory. You said in Isaiah 28 that the word of the Lord was unto me, line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It seems slow. But Father, we thank you that every single day we wake up one day at a time. We live 24 hours at a time. It's never any faster. We thank you that each day that you are utilizing your word in every circumstance of our lives, every circumstance that we approach is with thanksgiving and understanding that you have made a way for us because we are your people and we have received your gift, the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ, that all of our sins have been forgiven and that you have prepared for us a table and you have gone after us as your lost sheep and you have in fact found us and calling for a party. And we give you the praise. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hope you've been blessed.
I will bless thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord, with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord.